be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is something I was contemplating yesterday, and it just blessed me. Just the three different accounts in Matthew and Mark and Luke of what Jesus expressed in Gethsemane. Not so much, not my will, but your will be done, which is kind of at the heart of the whole conversation with God. But some of the things that he felt, and then he said that, not my will, but your will be done. This is in the Matthew account. It says in verse 36 of chapter 26, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be grieved and distressed. And he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. The Mark passage. They came to a place called Gethsemane. He said to his disciples, sit here until I've prayed. He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be very distressed and troubled. The word distressed here is the word astonished or amazed. So as Jesus was pondering what he was about to face, some people said that he meant like appalled. I don't know if it was all of that. What was about to be accomplished was astonishing. What was going to happen for it to be accomplished was astonishing. But he was followed up with the word troubled. And the word troubled is to the point of almost despair. And then the last one is the one in Luke. And he came out and proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, which is where Gethsemane was. This is the same place where Jesus prayed all the time. The disciples followed him, and when he arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Not that they wouldn't be tempted. The word is that you won't enter into it. You won't give in to the temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and began to pray. So he took all the disciples with him. And then he left all of them except for James and John and Peter. And went a little bit further. And he left them about a stone's throw. And then he went and prayed. Now they could hear him. Stone's throw, not that far. But they couldn't necessarily see him, or they weren't next to him. He began to pray, and he said, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. And then an angel came from heaven and appeared to him, strengthening him. Isn't it interesting that he needed to be strengthened by an angel? This was a very tough place in his humanity. And verse 44, and being in agony, it's a different word. He was praying very fervently. And sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. He says, why are you sleeping? Arise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. And of course, he did that three times. In John 16:33, real familiar passage, it says that in this world, you're going to have tribulation. There are going to be times of temptation. The word means, can be translated temptation. It can be translated testing. It can be translated trial. So it kind of covers all the yucky stuff happens in a fallen world. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But then he said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And one of the scriptures that we've quoted a lot from Hebrews chapter 4, Jesus said, was tempted, it says about Jesus that he was tempted in every way like unto us, yet without sin. Now this could be Sunday's sermon, so this is a little short clip. So if you get to hear it again, then forgive me. In the incarnation, Jesus clothed himself with our sinful flesh. That's what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 3. And every temptation, every type of temptation that any person who's ever lived or ever will live, Jesus experienced those temptations. That's remarkable. The temptation that a pedophile would have, a murderer would have, a serial killer would have, all those things hit at him because he clothed himself in our humanity so from the inside out he could redeem us. It was your humanity. So every temptation you've ever experienced, he experienced it, yet without sin. Every temptation any person who's ever lived, Jesus experienced it. So the time of testing and temptation for Jesus wasn't just the 40 days in the wilderness. Again, yet without sin. And so think about this. This is something I've been contemplating a lot for a while now. Jesus clothed himself in your humanity. It says that you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So he carried you. He took your humanity. He was dressed up in your humanity, yet without sin. And so in some mystical way, as Jesus agonized in the garden, as he felt distress, as he was troubled, as he was astonished at what he was facing, as the agony that he went through, the need for angels to come and minister to him, all that he went through, that place of extreme weakness, talking about in this world you'll have tribulation, all that Jesus went through, what he went through in the 40 days in the wilderness was nothing compared to this. And yet, he faced all that, clothed in your humanity and mine, without sinning. So that now, in union with him, one of the purposes is, so I want you to hear this, this is significant. It's part of the grace of God. That when you and I face things, even as bad as that, not crucifixion, but whatever it is that represents agony or pain or great difficulty, that astonishes you how hard this is or difficult this is, you're having to walk through. Jesus is able to say to you, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. We've done this before. And I overcame the world, dressed in your humanity. We have faced things like this before, you and I. And now clothed in our humanity, being clothed in his deity, as we face things now, Jesus is saying to us, and this is the part that really blesses me, Jesus is saying, we face this kind of stress before, and I overcame. I can overcome again. I've already proven to you, and dressed in your humanity, I can carry this pain and do it without sin. You don't have to cave in. You don't have to fall into the temptation. We have faced this before. I've overcome your world, the world you live in. You were there. And I overcame. I'm here. And the one who overcame can overcome again. Because I've already proven to you that anything you're facing, I was tempted with everything you've ever been tempted with, every place where you've been tempted to get angry or get bitter or get resentful or get fearful or give in to self-rejection or reject others or whatever, give in to agony and depression, every place, we've already been there. And I've already proven to you that I can carry that. I can face it in you without sin, without giving in to the depression, the anger, the rejection, the bitterness, the doubt. You with me? If you aren't, we do it again Sunday, then we'll expand. I just think that's so important. Because it's not like we're not going to experience those things in this world. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But we're either going to go through this and fall into every temptation and allow sin to destroy us on the inside, or allow the one who's overcome to do it again. He's already proven that he can, clothed in our humanity. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.